Hey guys, Matt Bird here for Horror Shop Radio. Just a real quick update before the episode gets started. Originally, our Season 2 premiere was scheduled to drop this week. But unfortunately, being a one-man show, pretty much, I've just not been able to make that happen on the production side of things. I kind of tend to overestimate my own time and ambition at times, so my apologies. I will be getting the Season 2 premiere out as soon as possible. Hopefully, looking at a couple weeks right now. So, in its place, here is a very special behind-the-scenes episode where I had the privilege to speak to two very talented gentlemen who have been a large part of Horror Shop Radio thus far. So, without further ado, here is the first episode of Shop Talk. Hello everyone, my name is Matthew Bird, and I am the creator of Horror Shop Radio. I'd like to welcome everybody to the first ever Horror Shop Radio episode of Shop Talk, where we're going to have kind of a roundtable type of discussion about some behind-the-scenes stuff and basically everything that goes into the production of Horror Shop Radio. And for our first episode, I have two very special guests joining me, and first, I'd like to welcome in the writer of Season 1's Episode 7, In Search of Succubus. He is an award-winning singer, songwriter, and composer, Mr. Damon Price. What's going on, Damon?
Not much, man. Great to be here with you, Matt.
Absolutely. I appreciate you joining me. And would also like to welcome in the amazing voice actor who is responsible for playing the lead role in that same episode, In Search of Succubus, and a guy who's just, he's appeared in many of our other episodes, as well as the upcoming Season 2. Please welcome Mr. Nathan Waltering. How's it going, man?
Hey, it's going great. I'm excited to, I guess it has been a few episodes now, huh? I guess I hadn't really thought about it. I think I've been in like four?
Something like here that. And there, so I think there was the Shopkeeper Presents, I think might have been the first one, and then there was Rabbit Hole.
Yeah, we're gonna count it.
Yeah, let's start keeping track, brother.
Hey, thank you. I mean, as a voice actor, you find someone who's willing to bring you back. You just kind of don't look a gift horse in the mouth, right? You just keep going.
Sure. So.
All right. So, first order of business, I guess. Damon and you and I have been kind of talking about doing an episode like this for quite a while. I want to say probably since right after that episode was released, which was, I don't even know how long ago, last summer maybe?
Can you believe that, dude? Time is flying by, man. It's flying by.
Crazy.
Yeah, I know.
But really never got time to, or found the right time, I guess, and schedules didn't really line up, so now that we're kind of going into Season 2, there's going to be a major tie-in to that story In Search of Succubus from Season 1. So I thought, you know, it would be a fitting time to finally sit down and kind of chat about it. And I just want to say thank you to, you know, you, Damon, and Nathan for, you know, taking the time out and to do this, because I think it would be something really cool for everybody to hear.
Oh, it's my pleasure, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So, Damon, I want to say, I met you, God, I don't even, probably 10 years ago, maybe?
It's been a while, yeah. We've known each other.
Hotel Horror. It was...
Hotel of Horror. The foundation.
for anybody listening that doesn't know, I used to be a scare actor at a haunted house attraction, and Damon kind of got in there through a mutual friend, which was Tony Massa.
Yeah, I would do a lot of his character films and photo shoots, and then as the years went by, like, I made the films more complex and scored more music, and I just really got into it, and I had so much fun doing that.
Yeah, those videos were, like, really cool, and it just, I mean, I've never seen another, I mean, I've worked for two different attractions like that, but I've never seen anybody, like, actually go to the lengths of, you know, recording, like, these, I guess, promo videos for different characters and stuff, and just your editing and the creativeness and everything was really cool.
Oh, thanks, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, I wanted to mention too that the action figure that you had made for me was probably to this day one of the coolest gifts I've ever received from anybody. And
oh, dude, thanks so much. I that was great. I that was one of my first years going through, and like the cast that year just grabbed me. That cast was so phenomenal that year. And I just loved your character that year. And I'm like, oh, I have to make him one of the figures.
Well, I appreciate that.
I really appreciate that.
Absolutely. I mean, it's just something that's so cool to have like a likeness of you like that, you know, as one of the characters that I portrayed. So I just wanted to mention that, and, you know.
Oh, you're welcome. You're so welcome, man.
Anyway, you're obviously an accomplished award-winning singer-songwriter, composer. You did a lot of the scoring on the episodes for Horror Shop Radio, as well as writing the In Search of Succubus story itself. Can you kind of, you know, give us a little bit of a backstory on yourself, like how you initially got started in music and basically everything, and kind of what spawned your musical career?
I started playing drums when I was in high school because I kind of fell in love with Kiss, and I loved Peter Criss, and I wanted to be just like Peter Criss. You know, so I started on drums, but as I got older, I got more into The Cure and these amazing songwriting bands, and I wanted to be able to write music, so I knew I had to learn how to play guitar to do that. So I picked up the guitar and kind of taught myself back in 1995. And everything kind of spawned off that. I just kind of learned the keyboard naturally on my own and all the different soundscape tools I kind of learned on my own. And I've always been a huge fan of, like, film scores. Like, I've always loved scores. And it's always been a hobby of mine. I wrote a book back in 2004 called Embrace of the Sun, and I completed a complete score to it that came with the book.
Oh, wow.
It's just something that fascinates me.
That's really cool.
I just kind of feel like a lot of it started early on, but definitely inspirations from The Cure and other artists like that got me into the more gothy, dark kind of thing. I really enjoy that music, and it just kind of like penetrates me the most, and that's kind of the music I like to make.
Gotcha. So it all kind of all comes together in a lot of different ways for you there. So how many like instruments can you actually play, or do you play?
I can play about 5 or 6.
Wow.
I play like synthesizers, piano, a lot of keyboards. I play the guitar, the bass, the acoustic. I play a little bit of flute. I love to play different instruments. It's a lot of fun. Even if you know them like as a novice, it's how they work together. Like, that's what I loved about the soundtracks from the 80s, you know. It was just, if you get the right melody, it doesn't have to be anything fancy. If it's the right melody, it works perfectly. And that's, I just love that kind of sound from the 80s.
Hell yeah, man. Especially those 80s horror soundtracks.
Oh, my God. I mean, I was such a fan of Tales from the Dark Side. I love Tales from the Dark Side. I think that was Dennis McCarthy who scored that show. One of my favorite shows, and that music always stuck with me. I loved it so much. And all my scores kind of are derived from the synth bass. I just think it's – I mean, I love Danny Elfman as much as anybody else, but – you know, that's the big score and composition, but I just like those synth songs, like from V, The Final Battle, I love that stuff growing up.
Yeah.
Those great synth tracks, like from Miami Vice, and so I kind of was raised on that kind of thing, and that's the kind of score I like to do, because especially with horror, because I'm always taken back to Tales from the Dark Side. Whenever I do a horror piece for Tony, or when we do something for Horror Shop Radio, it's like my brain goes right back to Tales from the Dark Side.
Absolutely, and that Tales from the Dark Side and Tales from the Crypt were major inspirations for me. I mean, I grew up watching those shows like, you know, everybody else from that, you know, time period, and it's just I wanted to create something that kind of had that, you know, comedic aspect, you know, with the shopkeeper is obviously a homage to the Crypt Keeper, and you know, you have that, you know, a little comedy in there, but then you also have those cool little stories that always have like some neat little twist to them, or you know, somebody ends up getting it in the end, and
just a little hook at the end, and it just much fun. It was so much fun growing up in that time.
Absolutely. Let's jump over to Nathan. And you've appeared in, I actually wrote it down here. I should have probably looked at that before. So we had, the Shopkeeper Presents episode, The Conjurer, and then you were in Rabbit Hole as the bus driver, and then In Search of Succubus, of course, as the character Gabe. Now, can you kind of give us some background on yourself and, you know, how you got started in voice acting or acting in general and just, you know, your experiences sure. thus far?
Yeah. So I actually studied acting a long time ago, right? Because I'm old, oldish anyway. So I studied in college, and it was one of those things that I was studying for stage performance primarily. And probably junior year realized it's not that I couldn't do it. It's that you have to have a certain level of sort of drive and ambition and be willing to just go for broke. And I'm just not that guy, right? I've got this a little more conscious personality, and I was trying to have a family and the whole nine yards. So, at that point I was like, okay, I graduated with my degree. I maintained it. So I do have a acting degree. But I did nothing with it for like 10 years, right? I'm a corporate employee, you know, and I love my job. Don't get me wrong. But then a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago, there's a web serial that I'm a big fan of. It's kind of a sci-fi worm. I don't know if anybody's familiar with it. Maybe a listener out there. There's like a Venn diagram that are two separate circles, but was like, doing a voice acted translation of the serial. And I was like, oh my God, like this is, I'm going to get a chance to act. There can't be that many people who are doing it, right? So I have to be able to do something for this. And I literally I had a friend who had a podcast, and I was like, I need a microphone today. And that's, I think I mentioned, I traded him, I brought him a bucket of chili and he gave me his microphone for it.
Righteous deal.
Yeah.
That's an even trade.
I know. It was a great deal for sure. And then from there, it was like, oh, on this site that we're casting this, there's like a million other things you can do. And I just got really, you know, it's just fun, right, to reconnect with that element of my life again. And then from there, just auditioning and getting more into stuff. And it's especially fun right away because you learn so much about the craft so quickly that it just is like every day you're better, you're getting better. And then it helps as well that, again, I've had a corporate career behind me. So I've got now I could buy a new mic when I realized this is something I wanted to do. So, so that brings me to today. Right. And I'm still out there, you know, doing auditioning for stuff like this. I love original works, especially, I know there's a huge market for voice actors doing like dubs and stuff like that, which I completely respect. But I really love to do original stuff. So projects like this, I actually auditioned for stuff before that first appearance, before I upgraded my mic and before I was getting better and kind of learning what I was doing. And I was really excited for In Search of Succubus, especially because most of the time the kind of your lead male roles, especially in this genre, right, have this like masculine, deep voice, right, which is just not me no matter how hard I try. And so I saw this and I was like, oh man, this guy probably doesn't have the deepest voice ever. Like I might actually be able to get this role. So it was very cool. So yeah, I guess that's kind of a long-winded journey of like where I am now.
That's awesome. And it's funny that you mentioned that because when Damon and me were kind of going over casting choices and throwing some, you know, ideas back and forth and listening to auditions, and I originally, before we even put up the audition, had a voice in mind for the character of one of our previous voice actors. And as soon as I heard your audition and as soon as Damon heard it, we were just both like, oh my God, like that is Gabe, like to the T. You pretty much.
That's our guy.
Awesome. Yeah. That's great to hear.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Dude, I just want to let you know, man, as just the writer of that story, like I was so excited and enthused about how much you brought that character to life. It was amazing. It was just like I was smiling ear to ear the whole time. Like this guy
awesome.
Really
well,
got
you.
It.
Yeah.
So I
That's
was
awesome.
So,
yeah.
I was so appreciative that you did the part for us. It was just really exciting.
No, I mean it was my pleasure, and I really you talked about earlier that kind of mix of like. It's funny, I was thinking Tales of the Crypt already when you talk about like this comedy, you know, just a little bit of like this camp comedy element to a horror component, and the two mix really well, but they also individually take themselves seriously, right? So like,
yeah,
it's legitimate horror, but it's also legitimately funny. And I find that really interesting. And I thought in this script in particular, for me anyway, really captured a lot of that. And so there's a lot of elements that were like, you know, you really got a chance to play it up. So yeah, it was a ton of fun. And I'm glad that you enjoyed it. I enjoyed doing it probably just as much as you enjoyed listening and writing. So
awesome.
Yeah, definitely. Damon, you started doing, you know, some of the scoring for Horror Shop with the abduction episode. I think it was some extra tracks that you had laying around, but then we kind of just, you know, took it farther. You know, you did Rabbit Hole and Succubus, and I think a little bit on the finale episode as well. I mean, it's just such a wide range that you have, and the ability to capture like so many different, you know, feelings and moods. Like Rabbit Hole especially, I really wanted to do something completely different on that one. I wanted this 50s era kind of Leave It to Beaver feel to the whole thing. And I just think, you know, I wasn't sure if we were going to be able to capture that in terms of like the music. But you hit the nail on the head on that. And I just was curious, like, how do you, you know, going from like the different episodes, or I know you produced some of your own short films as well. Like, how do you kind of go about, you know, getting the idea in terms, I guess it's kind of a vague question, but like creating these different feels or, you know, capture that mood?
It's definitely reading the material and reading the content and really trying to kind of absorb that concept. I know that before I even got to read The Rabbit Hole, you had told me about that Leave It to Beaver aspect of it. And I'm thinking, like, okay, like, how can I get this to sound creepy, but almost give it a little House on the Prairie kind of sound, like Laura's walking along the prairie, and make it really creepy, even creepier still. And I like to put, you know, conceptual music over like the most non-horror thing you can think of sometimes, because then when you lay it over the horror, it's just so bizarre and so weird. So I really, you know, I really enjoy doing that. And then once I read the story, I have the story comes apart in my head. Like, it just comes apart in my head into these segments, you know. And that's, and each segment, I try to think of the elements involved in the segment. You know, if there's anything cosmic happening, if there's anything, you know, supernatural happening. If, you know, we did some stuff for the alien abduction one, and I wanted to make sure people knew that they were in a mechanical setting, an environment. And, you know, so I kind of like look at it that way. I break it up into segments and try to kind of right away pick up on all the elements that would be going on at that moment in the scene.
You could just, you know, have the ability to do that. I played the piano for a little bit when I was a kid, but other than that, I have no musical, you know, any idea.
Oh, no.
I mean, it's just amazing.
I got to say, the abduction, my personal favorite episode, by the way, if anyone's wants to know. That was, I feel like, because I, you know, as soon as I saw the and I started auditioning to be a part of the show and stuff, I went back and listened to him, and Abduction was the one where I was like, all right, we got something here. Like, that was the one that hooked me in, and that music, I think, probably was a big part of it. I mean, that's when you started, so coincidence. Maybe maybe be. Not right, I don't know, but
we're a force to be reckoned with.
Love it. So anybody who hasn't gone back and listened should go back and check out. Well, check them all out, but Abduction's a strong recommendation for me.
It's nice to hear that. I appreciate that I have, you know, just like a screen that I go on and see how many people are listening. But other than that, I don't get a whole lot of feedback. So it's kind of cool to hear, you know, like you say, oh, that's my favorite one, because I'll ask, you know, my girlfriend, hey, which, you know, what's your favorite one? But other than that, you know, there's
yeah.
Oh, I know how you feel. Like, when I put out new music, I get the same thing. It's like, it's so hard to get feedback on your art, you know? So when someone does, it's rough, man. So when someone does say, hey, I listened to The Road Home, it was just beautiful, and your voice had this Bryan Adams quality, and like, and then, you know, they listen to it, and it's like, that's a good feeling, you know? And you don't get that very often. So when you do, it's like a real treat.
Yeah. But it's also too, I mean, sometimes you're like, you know, you ask a friend or somebody that knows you personally, and obviously 9 times out of 10, they're not going to say, oh, wow, that sucked. You know?
Of course not. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I know, right?
I love you, buddy, but don't do this anymore. You've made a big mistake here.
I know.
No, that's true, though, right? To get, like, legitimate, honest, critical feedback, right, that is not necessarily terrible, but not yes-manning you, right, but is kind of in the middle, is really the goal. And it's really hard as an independent producer of something. I mean, you spend all your time just trying to get people to listen to it, right, let alone actually tell you, like, how could we improve, what could we do better, is feels really, really difficult. So I totally feel you on that one.
I'll give you an example of that. Like, I recently had, I forget what website it was, but you know, there's all these different, you know, sites that, you know, your podcast comes up on, and you know, people can rate it or whatever. And you know, one person gave me like a 1-star rating, but there was no review or anything whatsoever. So it was kind of like, I want to know why you didn't like it.
Yeah, of course. I mean, absolutely. That's human nature, man. Like, what happened?
Now, I was going to ask, If they had written a critical review and it was just like tearing, like just scathing, right? How is that? Is that like horrible for like, I'm curious how you handle that, right? Because I think as a content creator, like, I'm a voice actor, right?
Yeah.
So very rarely do I have to deal with people being like, that performance was terrible, right? They just go, I didn't like the podcast, and the producers take all the heat. So I'm curious, like, would you prefer to get just a solidly negative review with actual criticism, or just nothing?
If it was written in a way that, you know, was, I guess, somewhat constructive, yes. Well, like,
yeah,
I said,
sure.
You know, everybody likes what they like. So, you know, there's things that I think are complete dog shit, and somebody else might think is the greatest thing in the world. So,
of course.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I just think it's interesting because so much of that feedback goes to the show in general, which as an individual voice actor, it's really easy for me to just go like, yeah, but not my part, right? The rest of it was pretty good, so.
Sure. Yeah, that's like the bass player on my record. Well, the bass was good, wasn't it?
Yeah, we have to protect our fragile psyche here, right? I can't afford for my ego to get popped.
Oh, thank God for the Prozac. But anyway.
Yeah. Sorry to derail the conversation.
Brother. I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
Let's, I wanted to ask you, Damon, in terms of, you know, In Search of Succubus, you came to me with the idea for this story because you had written it for one of the films you were producing for the haunted attraction we were talking about before.
Yeah.
But it just kind of never saw the light of day. And,
correct.
You know, when I read that script, I just immediately thought, like, it was just such a great fit, you know, like we were talking about before with that, you know, Tales from the Crypt kind of feel. Did you have any kind of an inspiration or what was your, you know, like, how did you come up with the story?
I kind of, you know, like, I grew up in the 80s and I was kind of a nerd in the 80s. Like, you know, I was like one of the only goths in Slatington. There wasn't a lot of other goths. There wasn't a lot of people in The Cure who lived in Slatington. I was like one of the only ones. So I'm like, you know, I can relate to the poor kid who doesn't have, like, all the girlfriends, doesn't have all the friends, and goes out to the party. And I just thought, you know, and I was also one of those people that would watch, like, every paranormal TV show I could watch. I used to love to watch Sightings and all those shows. And I always kind of pictured, you know, what it would be like if some kid, you know, kind of had that lonely life and watched a show. And watch a show about succubus, you know, because there's a lot of shows about them, and got the crazy idea, like, hey, it's better than nothing. And that's how the story came about. You know, I thought it would be kind of humorous and funny, but also, like, really scary. And that's kind of where it came from. I just kind of imagined somebody, you know, watching one of the shows and saying, I'm gonna give this a shot. I knew that it was pretty well written, and I love the narration that you added also, Matt. I thought that kind of gave it an extra dimension, because originally I didn't need all that, because I was going to shoot it as a film for my Nightmares from the Lake House series, which again would have been like Tales from the Dark Side, where I had this host whose name was Maurice, played by Tony Massa, and I was going to have story after story after story. For some, when I showed them that one, they were kind of like, oh, that one's a little too much for our fan base, and it's a little too too sexually oriented, we can't do it. So I'm like, all right, that's fine. So I put it away, and I really did think it was going to collect dust. I'm like, I bet Matt would like this. And I think, Matt, you got back to me that day. Didn't you get back to me like that day? You read it like one day, and you got back to me right away.
Yeah, I think I want to say I either read it that day or the next day, but I remember I read it all in one sitting and just immediately loved it. I thought it was the perfect fit for Horror Shop Radio. Had that same kind of style vibe to it. I'm just really glad you did send it over because, I mean, it ended up being such a fun piece to work on, and collaborating with you on everything was really such a great experience. And I'm really glad we got to work on it together.
Yeah. I'm so glad we did, because it's just exciting that it, you know, it has life, and it had such a great actor like Nathan. I mean, it's so cool, you know. And it was fun composing music for it, and it was just a really neat experience to see it all come together.
Oh, absolutely. For sure. And going off of that, as we move on to season two, I wanted to kind of do something to expand upon the Horror Shop itself and kind of create this ongoing narrative story, which wraps around the regular stories themselves.
Yeah.
So in season one, we had that, you know, a little bit of that going on with the shopkeeper, of course, introducing the stories, having these, you know, quirky, odd characters coming into the shop, and, you know, of course, him killing them off. I wanted to play around with that a little bit and going forward, I have more of a full storyline for season two, but kind of with the same, you know, comedic aspect to it, but also with a little more depth to it. So I came up with this idea at the end of season one. The landlord comes to visit, essentially tells the shopkeeper he needs to get this, you know, basically get his shit together because they're going corporate. So it means the Horror Shop's now going to be this big box Walmart type of store with all these crazy characters who work there as employees. But, you know, I needed a good story to go along with that and still keep that going. So being that In Search of Succubus was one of my personal favorite stories and one of the more popular ones from season one, I thought, you know, why not, you know, take that opportunity and bring back the character of Gabe and a couple other characters from the story as well. So that's where you come back in, Nathan. And I'm really excited that you're able to, you know, take that character on again and kind of connect these two worlds, so to speak. I'm not really sure how much you've read into it, but was there anything in particular that made you interested in taking on that role again and reprising the character of Gabe for season two?
I mean, I think, so I'll tell you the most, I've read them all the scripts that you put out there anyway, Red. I haven't recorded all of them, but I've read through all of them because I'm legitimately like, I guess it's two things, right? Because one, I got to know where it's kind of going, right? I don't, a lot of them have been kind of, that have been released so far at the time of this recording are like, build up. I keep reading, being like, all right, when's the resolution coming? Because my man's going to get his moment sooner or later here. But the other thing is, I think that the part that I've enjoyed the most is that Gabe as a character is so, the characters we're getting, for anybody who's been listening and has listened to the preview episodes, which kind of function as introductions for a lot of the characters in these narrative segments, are so, you know, they're wild, they're horror characters or caricatures, right? So they're very interesting, very kind of animated, all over the map. Yeah, and then Gabe's just like normal guy. So it's very much that contrast. I think there's a lot of room for play in that space. I think it's going to be, when we start hearing the interactions between Gabe and some of these other characters, I think should be pretty pretty fun. So really looking forward to that too, and kind of seeing where that goes. So yeah, I mean, overall, I was just excited, honestly, to have you reach out and be like, come do stuff for me. You know, it's always the dream, right, is to have be like, don't audition, just play your same character again. Yeah, so yeah, very, very pumped. And so far, the scripts are really fun, really shaping up. I have to keep remembering that there's an actual standalone episode that goes in there, too, because I'm so focused on this narrative, so...
Yeah, and I probably should have thought more about that, because now I've just, like, overloaded myself and piled double the amount of work on myself, so it's all good.
Because now you're producing two podcasts, basically.
Oh, no. Don't we always do that?
Yeah. Pretty much, yep. But I have to say, along with yourself, the cast for season two is just an amazing group of talents. Super excited to work on everything because... I mean, the voice actors that we have working on this thing are just awesome.
Yeah, they're incredible. I don't know what you're doing to attract some of the folks that you've got, but they are incredible. So it's great. I mean, they've been good as we've gone, and like now we, you know, you finally built a server and we've got everybody kind of interacting and we can work together. And gosh, listening to some of the files are just. I mean, it inspires me, right, to do a better job, too. So I'm cast-wise, we've got some awesome stuff coming up.
That's for sure. A lot of little twists and turns that should make season two a really fun listen and, you know, definitely takes it to a whole new direction. But, you know, before we close everything out, I wanted to, you know, just take a moment and, you know, ask you guys if there's anything that, you know, you're currently working on. Any new projects, you know, coming up or in the works. So, you know, whatever you'd like to promote, the floor is yours. And we'll start with Damon. What do you got going on?
I'm actually finishing up my second full-length album. It's called New Creation. And I'm hoping it's going to be out on May 15th, if not pretty close to that date. And it's going to be more some of my contemporary Christian stuff. I'm gonna on that one, and I also have a single out right now called Entity, and it's all about the struggles that people deal with mental illness. Like I'm a big advocate for people with mental illness. You know, I struggle with it myself, and I want to be a voice for people who fight that battle every day. So it's called Entity, and it's available on Spotify, iTunes, Amazon. You just gotta look for Damon Price, DaimonPrice. You can also find me at DamonPrice.com. And I'm just looking forward to creating more music. And eventually I like to put a whole album together of a lot of the Hard Sharp Radio stuff that I've done. And let's take home the Lehigh Valley Music Award for best score. Let's do it this year.
Oh, man, that sounds great. Awesome stuff, man. And Nathan, what do you got going on over there on your side of things?
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. Like I said, I do a lot of original stuff. So I'm excited. I've got a couple other podcasts that I'm working with. Actually Rachel, who I think is part of we've cast to do something for Horror Shop. I'd have to double check what it is, but she runs her own, Soul Twin Audios, which is putting out recreations of old radio and old television productions. And we're doing an audio recreation there that I'm going to be leading in that I'm extremely excited about. I don't know how much I can talk about, but again, Soul Twin Audios, it's S-O-L-E. I should mention as well that I've been kind of a co-writing collaborator on a new podcast launching in like a week that is called Universe 25. I guess it'll be out by the time anybody hears this. Universe 25, which is a branch out from a podcast called Mercury Theater Podcast, which I've been involved with for a while as well. And Universe 25 is awesome. You're not going to hear my voice in it so much, but I did help with a lot of the writing and stuff. So it's very, very cool from that perspective. And then just a lot of like here and there, right? Little projects going on. But those are the big ones that I, you know, the producers in those projects would strangle me if I didn't plug them, if I had an opportunity to plug them. They're good people, man. Anybody who's thinking about voice acting, I can't like everybody I've met is without exception just kind and giving, and it's just even if you're just doing it as a hobby, it's like the best thing. So those are some of the things I've got working on, and of course this one, which anybody listening is already listening to it and should continue to do so.
All right. Exciting stuff, man. I just, I want to wish you both the best with everything that you have going on. And once again, thank you for taking the time to, you know, do this little episode. And hopefully we can do some more of these going forward. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, my pleasure, brother.
We'll talk to you later.
All right, thanks, guys. All right, everybody. Hopefully you all enjoyed the first edition of Shop Talk. Something new we're trying out here at Horror Shop Radio. We're going to try to do some more of these. It was a great time. I'd like to once again thank Damon Price and Nathan Waltering for joining me on the episode. It was great to be able to sit down and discuss some things with those two gentlemen. And once again, it was a pleasure. So look for some more of these type of episodes. Thinking about making them Patreon exclusives down the road. Speaking of Patreon, which we don't actually have one that's live right now. We are currently working on that. So hopefully in the very near future, we'll be able to give you some more details on how you can become a Patreon of Horror Shop Radio, support the show, and get some cool little perks along with it. We're working on some more Shopkeeper Presents episodes. Those are going to be exclusive to Patreon subscribers. Once again, we're going to have more information on the Patreon going forward, hopefully in the first episode of Season 2. If not the second one, we should have everything rolling by then. Also, going to be relaunching the website, possibly some merch coming real soon. So keep your eyes open for that, or your ears peeled, or however they say it. I don't know. Anyway, thanks for tuning in, listening to this episode. In just 2 weeks, we will be going live with our first episode of Season 2, Horror Shop Radio. And hopefully you guys check it out. Thanks again for listening. And we'll see you then. Can't break free from this.
Yes.